stand by, everyone. We're about to begin. Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Breeders' Cup World Championships pre-entry call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, participants are asked to press star 1 to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Jim Gluckson. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good day, everyone, and welcome to the Breeders' Cup Pre-Entry Media Teleconference for the 34th Breeders' Cup World Championships to be held for the first time in Del Mar on November 3rd and 4th. With us today will be trainers, prominent trainers, for this year's Breeders' Cup World Championship, Steve Asmussen, Chad Brown, and Bob Baffert. We also have with us Tom Robbins, the chairman of the Breeders' Cup Racing Directors and Secretaries Panel, and the executive vice president of racing at Del Mar for any questions on the fields. Just a few statistical notes before we begin with our first guest. We have 187 horses pre-entered for this year, and we have a record 46 now from overseas. 46 horses from overseas have been pre-entered. 9 defending champions, and 7 of our races are oversubscribed with more than 14 horses or more than 12 in the turf sprint. Pre-entry is a first stage of a 2-stage entry process. Payments were due Monday for owners intending to run horses in the Breeders' Cup. The second payment will be due on Monday, October 30, when entries close, and post positions will be drawn later that day at 3:30 p.m. Pacific for all 13 races. Now, at this time, we'd like to bring in our first trainer, Steve Asmussen, a trainer here for Gun Runner. Steve has won 5 Breeders' Cup races, including the 2007 Breeders' Cup Classic with Curlin. Steve, good day and welcome.
Thank you.
Steve, we had yesterday, Gun Runner had a 6-furlong move up at Santa Anita. I'm pleased with the work. Talk about his development since all the way back from the Woodward here and your preparations for the Classic down here at Del Mar.
Well, preparation has went extremely smoothly for him. The weather has cooperated, and very pleased with his work Monday morning. Came out of it in good order, and just very excited for the week and a half, 10 days to come.
What are the plans as far as coming to Del Mar for perhaps a breeze before the Classic?
We will train at Santa Anita on Wednesday and Thursday, ship to Del Mar early Friday, and most likely we'll have a breeze at Del Mar Monday morning.
Very good. Very good. Well, Steve, we have a lot of media on the line here that want to talk to you, so let's turn it over now from questions from the press.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please signal us by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach us. Once again, that's star 1, and we'll pause a brief moment. We'll take our first question from Danny Brewer with HorseRacingScoop.com.
Steve, how you doing?
Very well.
Talk about, Jim mentioned something about the Woodward. How about if we go back a little bit further with the Foster and then the Whitney? 3 jaw droppers for this horse. I mean, has it been surprising for you? Or, I mean, does he amaze you every time out? Or just what's your thoughts on that?
Well, off of his Clark win last year, he had a little bit of a freshening, went to New Orleans for the winter. His works early this year indicated we were dealing with a lot more horse than we were the year before, just stronger and faster. His recovery from everything was a little quicker, and I felt that from the Razorback on, he is trained like a machine, and I thought his work Monday at Santa Anita was more of the same, and we're very excited about who he's developed into.
Just to shift gears, I want to talk about another one of your horses, Snapper Sinclair. He won at Kentucky Downs. Is he likely to run in the juvenile turf? And what's your thoughts on him and the relationship with Jeff Bloom and all that good stuff?
Well, he's a very talented horse. Two for two on the turf. And he has continued to develop multiple entries in the juvenile turf. So see if we're lucky enough to run.
Appreciate it, man. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
All righty, and next we'll move on to Tom Padilla with America's Best Racing.
Yeah, Steve, I think it was after the Whitney. He had asked you about who should be ranked first, Arrogate or Gunrunner. And I believe your feeling at the time was, you know, you still had proving to do. Do you still feel that way, that, you know, Arrogate's the horse until you knock him off?
Well, well, I know whose side I'm on, and I feel very good about where we're at right now. What has happened since the World Cup is, you know, surprising to a lot of people. We're just trying to get to the Classic in the best shape possible, and show it's a stage to prove where Gunrunner's at.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, just a reminder to our phone audience, it is star one if you have a question or comment at this time. That's star one. We'll pause another moment. Next, we'll move to Ron Flatter with Vegas Stats and Information.
Steve, since you've established what side you're on in the debate over Gunrunner versus Arrogate, go ahead and make the case that your horse, he's not won at a mile and a quarter, and he hasn't raced to Del Mar. So what gives you confidence that he'll be able to check both those boxes?
Just the way that he's run all year and the way that he is trained. He's reaching, and I thought that feel that he's at a very high level. In the way that he's running, as fast as he's running, as far as Del Mar and never running over the racetrack, he has accepted quite a few racetracks. He has traveled well, and we realize, you know, nothing but respect for a deep and quality field in this year's Classic. And it'll be extremely exciting. But with horse racing, this gives us an opportunity to try to get it done.
And he came back from Dubai very well. Reminds me a bit of curling in that respect. What's the magic formula or the secret to getting a horse back from Dubai and being able to run well here?
Well, I think we went over there with a lot of horse. He's very healthy-minded, been wonderful physically, and I think that just pedigree-wise who he is physically, he's just a stronger, better horse at four than he was at three.
Thank you, Steve. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Once again, just another reminder, it is star one. If you do have a question or a comment at this time, that's star one. We'll pause another moment. We'll move next to Tom Chico with Sun Centennial, South Florida.
Yeah, Steve. I know this isn't a relay race or anything, but you're going to be in against four or five Baffets. Does that concern you at all?
It does. It really does. You know, you're just hopefully they're all out there trying to win.
And will that affect you, any strategy, or what is your strategy for the race, or are you just going to let it play as it lays?
I will imagine I'll suggest to Florent to watch the Shared Belief Awesome again a couple of times.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Just a final reminder to star one if you have a question or comment at this time. That's star one. looks like we have no further questions or comments in our queue at this time.
Steve, this is Jim Gluckson again. I did want to follow up. You mentioned Florent a second ago. Can you just tell us about how well he has fit the horse this year?
Oh, I think Florent deserves a tremendous amount of credit for the horse that Gunrunner has developed into. Florent's a quality horseman as well as jockey. He's related with the horse extremely well, communicated to us what he was feeling, what he was thinking. And I think we've been on the same page with this horse most likely since, going into the Clark of last year, just what the horse needed when. And I think that we've all been rewarded in a big way by how Gunrunner, who he's developed into, but Florent gets, a lot of credit for it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Steve, we appreciate the time that you took today to join us, and best of luck to you when you come down here with your horses, and have a great day.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Trainer Chad Brown is here.
Excellent. We're now set to bring in Chad Brown. Chad has, in his career, has won 8 Breeders' Cup races. He has pre-entered 13 horses. That's just one less than Aidan O'Brien, has pre-entered 14. And he joins us today. Chad, Jim Gluckson here in Del Mar, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great. This has been a tremendous story among all your horses, but, of course, we're all very interested in Lady Eli and her great career. She's not raced since August, but can you comment on her progress moving towards this year's Filly Mare-Turf?
Well, she's training super, better than ever, and I think the times helped her in between starts. She seems to run well fresh, so she's very reliable that way. She's a good training horse, so we feel confident the way we're bringing her into the race.
Excellent. Can you comment regarding horses for the Longines Breeders' Cup turf?
My horses are both doing really well, Beach Patrol and Fanciful Angel. They came out of the Joe Hirsch in good shape. They seem to be training really, really well. They've had 2 breezes since the race, and both have been impressive. I think they'll both appreciate firm ground, and they look like they'll both be good at the distance. Beach Patrol now is proven, and Fanciful Angel was coming out nicely at 1.5 miles, so I don't think it'll be a problem for him. And I realize it's going to be the toughest race they've ever run in, but both seem to be real high-quality horses.
Excellent. All right, Chad, we have some media on the line that would like to speak with you, so let's turn it back over and have some questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Just a reminder to our audience, if you'd like to ask a question, you can hit *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach us. Once again, that's *1. We'll pause a brief moment. And we'll take our first question from Amy Owens with Keeneland. Hi, Ms. Owens. Your line is open. Please release your mute function. We're unable to hear you.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Chad, you've left a rushing fall at Keeneland. What was your plan of that?
Well, rushing fall ran so well at Keeneland with just a short turnaround into the Breeders' Cup. I didn't want to put too many long chips into her. So we left her at Keeneland with one of my assistants, and she's been doing super. She'll have her only breeze in between the Jessamine and the Breeders' Cup within the next couple of days, and then she'll fly out to Del Mar.
Very good. Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
We'll move next to Art Wilson with the Southern California News Group.
Yeah, Chad, can you just touch on the remarkable story of Lady Eli what she's meant to you, your barn, and the whole sport overall?
Lady Eli is a very special horse to me and my entire staff and her owners. For all she's overcome, for her incredible talent that she has and so many places she's brought us together. So we're very fond of her, obviously. And I think for the sport, I think it's been a great story on many fronts about what horses can overcome, about making a lot of people more aware about what laminitis is and the possible treatments now with advanced technology. And, you know, just really the will to win, I think. You know, when you come across very rare horses, not too often in your life. I know this one has been, I find to be very rare of any of the horses I've ever worked around. I've never seen one up close with this much heart and determination. And I just hope everyone has the opportunity to be close to a horse like this sometime in their life.
When she came down with that the life-threatening situation there, could you have ever dreamed 2 years ago you'd be with her now where you are 2 years later?
No, no. And I don't feel any expert would have given us any sort of positive feeling that this is going to be possible. So, you know, we just count our blessings every day, and we try to look after her the best we can. And it's just an amazing story what she's overcome and where she is now.
Okay, great. Thanks. Good luck.
Thank you.
We'll move next to Danny Brewer with HorseRacingScoop.com.
Dad, how are you doing today?
Good. Yourself?
Quite well, thank you, sir. The winning is cool no matter where it's at, but when a guy like you that's based on the East Coast goes west for something like the Breeders' Cup and can win, is that a little more, does that carry a little more oomph because it's almost like a road win? Or do you think about stuff like that?
I don't really think of it that way, but it's a good question. I'd say for me individually, I mean, first of all, I've never been to Del Mar. So this will be a first for me. In years past, we've had a lot of success at Santa Anita. Yeah, and we've had a lot of success at Santa Anita. And for me, even though I'm based in New York and I'm born and raised in New York, it always carried a special something with me on a personal level because I worked out at Santa Anita for quite a time for Bobby Frankel and out in Hollywood in Santa Anita. And I don't get to go out there too often anymore, unless it's for the Breeders' Cup, really. And I used to really, you know, in years past, I really loved and enjoyed going back and walking around Breeders' Cup week, seeing people I haven't seen in a while, and kind of reminiscing about the times I was back there working with Bobby. And then to have some success on top of it was a very rewarding ride home. And it made me want to really go back again. Del Mar will be a little different for me. I'm sure I'll see a lot of the same faces and such, but me not having been there, I'm excited to see it for the first time.
Shift gears a little bit. Beach Patrol, he's been pretty dang good here lately. So, you know, Arlington, Maine, and then the Joe Hirsch. What about him and his development under your care?
Yeah, he's been a real pleasant, I guess, surprise might not be the right word to use. I've never been surprised about this horse's ability. He has a lot of heart, not a big horse. Everything we ask him to do, he always does. I'm not surprised that we've given another challenge and he's been successful at it. But nevertheless, it's hard to envision. He's another horse. At the beginning of the year, we'd be here right now going to the Breeders' Cup in a mile-and-a-half race where he'd be one of the main choices in the race. And so I've just been so thankful for his development. I'm really proud of this horse. I think the horse deserves it because he's a real hard-trying horse. He's an overachiever. And I'm just hoping he gets a good trip in the race. And I know it'll be a really tough race with a lot of international horses that are top, top class, but he's one of them.
Appreciate your time, Chad. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Next, we have Ron Flatter with the Vegas Stats and Information.
Chad, Aiden's group in the Philly and Mare Turf will not include hydrangea. He's just got rhododendron, I guess, of the ones that came out of France last month or this past month. How do you regard that move by him or non-move when you look at how Lady Eli fits in, especially since I guess suppose both might be close to the pace?
Yeah, I haven't really had a chance to look at it yet. Yeah, obviously I respect whatever he chooses to run. A lot of respect for him and his accomplishments and outstanding year he's having. But I don't really focus too much on the competition on days like this until, you know, maybe, you know, right up to the final entries are drawn with post positions and such. I've always just taken the approach of just focusing on what I have and trying to bring him in the race, pick the races I think will fit him and kind of just see who shows up and go from there. So, you know, whatever he's doing, I'm sure there's good reason behind it, and we're just going to have to play the hand we're dealt. My biggest cause for concern right now is just that post position draw. I just want to hopefully obtain as many good post positions for my horses as possible, knowing that we're racing this many horses those 2 days. We're bound to get some unfortunate post positions. We're prepared for that. But in this race in particular, I think, is going to be very important, the post position draw.
Is Lady Eli your best chance to win among your 13? Or if not her, who else do you think are among your best chances?
Well, I think when you look down the line, she's probably going to, you know, be the most favored, I'd say, of any horses I have. Whether that comes down to, again, the post and the trip and whatnot, I know that she's very reliable, and I expect her to run well if she gets a good post and a clean trip, and I think she's got a huge chance to win. There's several others, I think, if things go their way, you know, they could potentially win.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Chad. Good luck.
And next we'll move to Tom Padillo with America's Best Racing.
Yeah, Chad, could you talk about the emotions attached to Lady Eli's final start for you and your staff?
It'll take quite a bit of time to get over that. And you know, although I'm optimistic more, you know, grade one fillies will come in the barn, unlikely to be one like her, I'd say. So I just understand how rare they are, having worked around a bunch of good ones myself. So it'll be tough, but, you know, we're prepared for it. And one thing, you know, training these horses is, you know, their careers are normally not that long, and they're going to come and they're going to go, and you have to be aware of that when you sign up for a job like this. So this is a special situation, though, and like I said, things will never quite be the same, but hopefully when the time comes for her to go on to her second career, she lives out a long life, and I plan on visiting her quite a bit wherever she is.
Thank you very much.
And next, we'll move to Tad Leonard with San Diego Union-Tribune.
Hi, Chad. Thanks for doing this. Going back to Lady Eli again. Was there a day there when she was suffering laminitis that you didn't think she'd get through a day?
There were.
Was she that ill?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, when a horse is stricken with this illness, there's, you know, it's such a crucial time that the first, you know, 2-3 days of it, really. And during that time, we just weren't sure. We know the percentages, and we weren't at all thinking about her racing again at that point. And even months down the road, we weren't thinking that way, just trying to get her to survive and have a really long life of being a brood mare, and even if we couldn't breed out of her, just her having a really healthy, pain-free life. And but yes, there was some that those first couple days, even the first week, you just, you're really never out of the woods with this until you're very, very far down the road. And we always had our guard up and were prepared to come in one morning and she had taken a turn for the worse. But thankfully, it never happened. Remarkable thing about her and this disease is she always improved every single day. And even if it was subtle, she never took a step backwards. And I've had horses with it, unfortunately, other horses. And there was ups and downs, and some unfortunately crashed fast, and some it took a while. But with her, she just never looked back. She kept fighting and kept improving.
You talked about the medical technology. What was the key as far as her recovery, medication-wise, or what was the gist of why she came back?
The team of people we assembled, led by podiatrist Brian Fraley from Kentucky, really saved her life. There was another guy, a veterinary podiatrist named Bob Agnew, unfortunately passed away shortly after Lady Eli was on her way to recovery, suddenly and unexpectedly. But those two guys worked together. Brian took over and has really been the quarterback of this team. And just all the techniques he used and applied to shoeing and gradually changing what she was doing in baby steps and moving forward and trying to graduate her into different types of shoes and reduce medication and such. And all those things are learned by this expert team of veterinarians and podiatrists that through trial and error and studies and everything we can do to learn more about the disease. And, you know, if this had happened 10 years ago, I'm positive there's no way she could have made it.
Yeah. And then just one more question for you. You spoke about not being at Del Mar, but you obviously have a lot of experience at Santa Anita. Is the whole East Coast, West Coast thing for the Breeders' Cup in particular a little overrated? How do you feel about, because I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think East Coast trainers and horses have done pretty well in the West Coast Breeders' Cups. Do you feel like it's not a big disadvantage? What do you think?
I think, I feel like, that anytime you don't have to ship to run, you're at an advantage. That said, when you look at the results wouldn't bear that, I don't think. So, I personally have no problem with the Breeders' Cups, the year that's on the West Coast, the years that are on the West Coast, because we've always done well in them, win or lose. So, in the end of the day, it hasn't, result-wise, it hasn't posted a disadvantage, but it'd be hard to say that not having to ship anywhere, especially that far, wasn't a disadvantage wasn't an advantage for you if you're able to just stay home. So I guess that's the way I'd answer it.
So can I ask you, what have you found some keys to east to west shipping that you feel like have been helpful through the years?
Not really. I just... Yeah, that's a very good question. My mentor, Bobby, he was big on just shipping the week of the race. I don't do too much shipping for big races where I get there early and breeze over the track and whatever. Derby time around Churchill, we have some now. Just thinking maybe that track's a little unique. But other than that, that'd be the only thing. There's nothing about the way we prepare to ship or what we do that would be any sort of, you know, special system. But it's just, you know, I like training in our home base, and our home base is Belmont Park in the fall. And to me, the most important part of this whole process is those workouts, that they're executed exactly the way we want. And that's the biggest thing for me.
Have you heard much about Del Mar's summer meet and kind of trainers? You know, the track was altered a little bit. What's your take on what you're hearing about Del Mar?
I haven't heard too much. You know, obviously there's some. Anywhere you go, you know, as a horse trainer, you're going to find, you know, half the people like the track and half of them have an issue with it. I find no matter where I'm going, where I train, where other people train, and So I don't listen too much. I mean, the guys that are winning like the track, and some people that aren't, they said there's something wrong with the track. So that's always been kind of my feeling about racetracks, and I don't know anything about it. I know that I ran some horses there for the first time last December for the Turf Festival, and my horses ran very well. They all ran on the turf, but they did really well. So, you know, I'm expecting my horses to go over there, and barring any bad posts or trips, they're supposed to go over there and run with no excuse. You know, if they're good enough, they'll get there.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We'll move next to John Pritchie with HorseRaceInsider.com.
Good afternoon, Chad. Was wondering, you have had all that experience at Santa Anita and none really at Del Mar except for the times you shipped in on occasion. Now, Dennis Moore, the track superintendent, said he expects the track to be the same this fall as it was this summer. I don't know if you had any experience at Del Mar this summer, but when you were with Bobby and Santa Anita, you know, they had the winter spring meet and then the oak tree meet. What I'd like to know is, we know at Churchill Downs, for instance, that the track is notably different from the spring to the fall meet. At Santa Anita, did they experience that sort of, not radical change, but a pronounced change from the fall as opposed to the spring or late winter?
I wouldn't know. I just wouldn't be the right person to ask about that, unfortunately. I really only go out west pretty much, you know, just for Breeders' Cup week. Don't train much, you know, gallop a little bit, school and run. And
right,
you know,
well, I was referring more to the time when you were with Bobby, and did you notice, you know, that the horses or the track acted a little differently in the fall at Santa Anita as opposed to the, you know, winter and spring?
I see. I was really only there in the winters, and then during the center of the year, you know, even onto the fall, I'd be on the West Coast, or I'd be at Keeneland. I really only went back in the winters with him. So, again, unfortunately, I wouldn't be the right person to ask about that.
All right. Well, thanks, Chad. May all your horses have a safe trip.
Thank you.
We'll move next to Bice Miller with San Diego Union Tribune.
Hi, Chad. Maybe a question that's a half a step off topic related to the Breeders' Cups in detail in terms of the races, but how important from an East Coast perspective, there are the hotbeds of horse racing nationally, New York, Florida, Kentucky, obviously, California. How important is a healthy California to the rest of the system, to the rest of those states and the industry as a whole?
Oh, I mean, I'd say it'd be vital. I mean, I don't race there. Obviously, I'm an East Coast guy, but I see the whole industry working together with different regions. You know, when everyone's doing well, the whole industry seems to be doing well. I'd say if California wasn't doing well, I'm not sure what would happen. I mean, I can't imagine anything would be good out of that. So, you know, when I do go over there and participate, there's a lot of prestigious races on the West Coast, and I just, you know, I'd say that just from my vantage point, it's I don't have a lot invested in California, but I'd see it as a, you know, one of the main pillars in the whole industry as far as different regions working together.
Is that something, if you're in the East Coast or if somebody in Florida hears that, you know, Hollywood Park closes or Santa Anita has some small fields or drops some race days, what's the kind of the ripples across the pond in other parts of the country when you hear that about California?
When you hear what?
When you hear that Hollywood Park closed, or you hear that Santa Anita's dropped some race days or has small fields or any of those things that sound like red flags in another state. When you hear things like that about California, does that matter to you on the coast? And what are your initial thoughts when you hear that?
Yeah, I mean, it's concerning. I'd say it wouldn't be just strictly with them. I'd say you hear that in other parts of the country as well. It might not be as, quite the level of racing, maybe at Santa Anita, but I see other racetracks, some that I participate on the East Coast, that you hear rumblings about, you know, they weren't able to make a card, or they had to cut a couple races off cards, or, you know, they're struggling financially and such. So anytime you hear that, it's concerning. Not only at the A track, so to speak, but when you see the other tracks as well, you hear about, because we need everybody doing well, even if it's, at a region or level of racing. I might not participate. I'm lucky, but there's still a lot of jobs on the line and horses that need to find their level and such. So anytime I hear that, even outside of California, it's concerning to me. I don't know the solutions, but, I'm concerned about it.
Well, thanks for the time, and good luck at Del Mar.
Thank you.
Once again, it is star one to ask a question. And just a reminder, please limit yourself to one question in the interest of time for Mr. Brown. We'll move next to Robert Kickcheffer with United Press International.
Hi, Chad. Thanks for your time. You know, many of us look at these turf races and the Breeders' Cup and try to figure out the relative merits of the European horses versus American horses. I look at a horse like Fanciful Angel, who was running at Chelmsford City in Sandown, and then comes to Arlington, and we watch him finish a good second in the Arlington Million, and then second in the Joe Hirsch. I'm just wondering, could you give us your thoughts about the relative merits of American horses versus the Europeans this year, looking at horses like Highland Reel and Ulysses against Beach Patrol and Fanciful Angel?
Well, I have a lot of respect for any of the European horses that ship over. I mean, I wouldn't think that any of the connections would come all the way over unless they thought they, you know, had a really good shot. And were eligible to get in the race. So anytime you see European horses show up, especially the couple that you named are, you know, exceptional horses. So, they're scary to run against. But we, the American horses and some of these turf races have fared very well. And you got to pick your spots and hopefully you have an exceptional horse. I think we have some we're running on this card, but, you know, if you want to compete internationally, like we are getting ready to do here in this Breeders' Cup festival, you know, it's you have to have a horse that has international class, really, and because normally there's really good horses come from Europe.
If I could just follow up briefly with that, then could we have your thoughts on not necessarily this year, but ever running a horse from the United States over to Japan or to Hong Kong?
I've never done that, so I just don't have any experience doing it. I wouldn't know. I mean, in recent years, I wouldn't be able to tell you an American horse that's done well doing that, or I haven't really followed it that much. Maybe at some point in time I'll, you know, attempt something like that or something. But right now I don't feel I'd be the right person probably to provide any good information about that.
We'll move on next to David Grinning with Daily Racing Form.
Hey, Chad. Just wanted to get your thought on taking a horse like Good Magic and shipping him cross country to run against a very accomplished horse like Bolt Doro. How big a task is that?
Well, it's a tall order. I mean, this horse has experience at Del Mar, Bolt Doro, and, we're bringing a horse that hasn't broke its maiden yet. But this horse has only run a couple times, but is improving Good Magic. And, has a pedigree to improve with some more distance. His numbers are improving. I feel like he's a horse that's going to run even better in his third start than he did in his second. And if that happens, the numbers I'm looking at, that could put him right there. So he's got some things to overcome. He's a young horse. He's got to ship very far. He's got to race over a track. He hasn't been to. He won't even have a breeze over it. So, these are tall orders for a young horse, but I've always felt this horse has, exceptional talent, and potential. And I think the reward is much greater than the risk in this particular situation.
Thank you.
And next we have Mike Spector with the Racing News.
Hi, Chad. Quick question about Practical Joke. You pre-entered as your first preference in the dirt mile and second preference in the sprint. Can you talk a little bit about that decision to make the first preference the dirt mile?
I just feel like 6 furlongs is probably going to be too short for this horse. So although he is undefeated around one turn, and he's never won around two turns, so it's quite a dilemma for us with a two-turn mile race. I really believe a mile is his best distance, but he's going to have to win for the first time around two turns. And but I'd rather have more track to work with, I think, with this horse than too short a race where he's running late but doesn't get there. So that's the way I'm leaning, but we haven't made a final decision yet.
Next, we'll move to Marcus Hirsch with Daily Racing Form.
Hi, Chad. I'm just wondering what your plans are for Annals of Time. I thought it wasn't pre-entered in the mile.
Yeah, good question. Unfortunately, Annals of Time, after a brilliant workout at Sunday on the turf course at Belmont, emerged with an injury. We're still doing some further diagnostics on this injury to figure out the ultimate prognosis for him. Unfortunately, he's going to be on the shelf for a little while.
Anything further, Mr. Hirsch?
Oh, no. Thank you.
Next, we'll move to Kelly Riley with Brisnet.com.
Hi, I was curious to get your thoughts on Grand Jeté. Do you think we've really seen the best of her yet over here, and especially given her trips the last couple times? I mean, certainly all saw the trouble she got in the Beverly B, and I'm not sure too many of us expected her to be a leading early in the Flower Bowl. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on Grand Jeté and how much scope she has to show more going.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. These last two trips were not ideal for her. And she's a horse I hold in high regard. I think she's improved a ton from where she started the year. And she's training particularly well. She has been unlucky. And I think post position for her is key to maybe find some cover early, not too far away, and get her back to her more preferred way of running. And I believe the mile and eighth distance should suit her just fine.
Wonderful. Best of luck with her. Another great Judmont homebred.
Thank you.
That concludes our question and answer session at this time. There are no further questions in our queue.
All right. Chad, thanks so much for taking the time today to speak with the media about your horses. Good luck to you when you get out here, and have a very good day.
Thank you. Take care. Thanks.
Thank you. Chad Brown, everyone. We're going to hang on just for a second. We're going to contact Bob Baffert, who has pre-entered 5 horses for the Breeders' Cup Classic. And so wait here. Just want to make mention about this 5 horses. The record for starters in a Breeders' Cup Classic is 3 each. Bobby Frankel in 1993 and Bill Mott in 2012 each had 3 starters in those years.
And trainer Bob Baffert has joined us.
Oh, great. Bob Baffert has joined us. Bob has 5 horses pre-entered for the Breeders' Cup Classic. He is shooting for his 4th consecutive Breeders' Cup Classic. Bob, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Bob, just quickly, if you could just give us a brief rundown on each of your 5 pre-entered horses in the Classic and how they're doing.
Well, they're all doing well. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been pre-entered. So we're just, you know, we're still, you know, a couple weeks out. So we're just, but, you know, they all look, they're doing well. Really don't have a whole lot to say. I mean, everybody, you know, now that we have XBTV, everybody, you know, you can see their work and everything. So there's really not much I can really say, but they're all doing well.
Yesterday you were quoted as saying this is one of the toughest classics that you've been a part of in several years. Can you talk about the quality of the competition?
Well, I mean, what I meant by that is just it's a pretty deep field, you know. Besides my four, you've got Gunrunner, Arrogate, then those my other three horses. You got West Coast, you know. You got Collected, who's undefeated this year. I mean, West Coast probably just missed by a head. He should be like 8 in a row, you know. So it's there's some good horses in there.
All right. Well, Bob, we have a number of media on the line that would like to speak with you, so I'd like to turn it over to questions from them.
Thank you. And once again, just a reminder to our audience, it is *1 if you have a question or comment at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach us. Once again, that's *1. And we'll move and take our first question from Danny Brewer with HorseRacingScoop.com.
Hey, Big Bob, how's it going?
Everything's good.
Good. Hey, man, I know that you got Murderer's Row lineup heading into this Breeders' Cup. Are you having more fun than a pig in slop right now?
You must be. You're always hoping somebody's going to
What's that?
And Mr. Brew, are you still there?
I am. Hello?
Okay, is Bob still with us?
Mr. Baffert? You are connected?
All right.
Mr. Baffert, please release your mute function if you're using that, or pick up your handset. We're not able to hear you.
And everybody's a lot of parity, so you need racing luck, good pose, break well. Your jockey's got to be on that day. There's so much involved, and you know, and you're right now. I'm just getting them all ready. I'm hoping that they have them make sure that when these jockeys on them, when they ask them, they push the button doesn't get stuck. You know, that they have the horse there. So that's what we're doing right now. Just, you know, I'm just preparing them for that. For that big day.
Bob, appreciate it, man. Wish you the best of luck.
Next, we have Art Wilson with Southern California News Group.
Hey, Bob. You've won 14 Breeders' Cup races, and this is the most you've ever pre-entered this year, 10. Can you just touch on how you feel about this year's group, how it stacks up against maybe some of the other top groups you've brought into the Breeders' Cup?
And Mr. Wilson, Bob has disconnected. We're going to establish him right
okay.
now. I'll
All
let
right.
you know when he has reconnected.
Okay.
And Mr. Baffert has rejoined.
Okay. Bob, You've had a lot of success at the Breeders' Cup, and this year you've pre-entered the most you've ever pre-entered, 10. Can you just touch on how you feel, about,
how you feel about this year's group?
How it stacks up against some of the other top groups you brought to the Breeders' Cup?
And I'm sorry, it appears that Mr. Baffert just disconnected one more time. We'll reach out to him again and rejoin him.
Okay.
Mr. Baffert has rejoined us.
Okay. Are you there, Bob?
Sorry about that. I moved to another area. I don't know why I'm being cut off. Maybe this will help. There must be a dead spot.
You've entered the most you've ever pre-entered in a Breeders' Cup, and you've had a lot of success before. Can you just touch on how you feel this year's group that you're bringing to the Breeders' Cup stacks up against some of the other top groups you've brought in?
Well, I mean, I just feel fortunate that I have had many nice horses, and so, it just happens. It just happens the way that the chips fall sometimes. You have these older horses. I've never had so many older horses before. And so, you know, we got Drake Fong, the sprinter, so he's coming back. I've been fortunate to have a couple of horses, you know, come back in this Breeders' Cup. But I think it's just all, you know, our barn has always been set up to, you know, to play at this level. So we're just fortunate that they're all healthy and they're doing well. And so, and I have the clientele that, you know, work with it to make this happen. So, you know, without them, you just can't make it happen. So I give all the credit to the clientele base that I have.
Right. And, going up against, Bolt de Oro and the Juvenile with Solomini, you know, you have a tall order there. What has been your early impressions of Bolt de Oro, Bob?
Oh, I think he's definitely the horse to beat. I'm very impressed with all his races, and I've been watching here in the mornings. He looks fantastic. So, you know, we're doing well. There's a big gap there we need to close, but there's some nice horses in there. I think Del Roman's horses, they look really, you know, they look great out here. So, you know, the Juvenile Colt race, it's always been you know, you got to get lucky, but the cream always rises to the top in these big races, just like last year.
Okay. Good luck in those two big days.
Thank you.
And next we have Bice Miller with the San Diego Union-Tribune.
Hey, Bob. Just with the Classic getting closer, I know we talked earlier, but Jim had mentioned that the record for entries in the Classic was 3, and you've got 5 at this point. As it does get closer, what's it like to try to juggle and manage and prepare that many horses for that level of a race?
Well, we've had right now it looks like I'm going to run 4 in there, but we're used to running more than one or, you know, 2 horses in a race. It just happens to fall that way, but there's really no juggling. Everybody, you know, we just get them ready and we load them up, and whoever, you know, may the best horse win, and, you know, so I don't think my clients, they're used to running that I have multiple entries or whatever. So it's nothing. There's no juggling really. You know, a lot of people have asked me, well, how do you handle all the owners? Well, the owners, they're just happy to be, have a horse at that level. So, they're just hoping to, you know, like we saw what Collected did. You know, he came up and, you know, he beat Arrogate. So, you know, you just, all you do is get them ready and hope that they run their best race of their life, because they have to bring their A game. And my job is pair them, get them ready, and after that, it's just, you know, we'll just see what happens.
Thanks. Good luck.
Next, we'll move to John Pucci with the HorseRaceInsider.com.
Good afternoon, Bob. This was something I had asked of Chad, and I'd like to ask you, since you would have more experience with Del Mar. Now, I know the track this year is different than the track was last year. So if you would, can you talk a little bit about how the Del Mar of summer was perhaps different than the Belmar of than the Del Mar of fall last year? And since Mr. Moore said that the track, when it opens for the Breeders' Cup meet, will be similar or the same as it was this summer. Is that good news and bad news for Arrogate?
I just don't know. We don't know what. I know they made some changes. I know they put a, for the Breeders' Cup, they put a whole new surface in there at the beginning and at the end. I think after the Pacific Classic, I noticed it started changing, like it started setting up. I think it just wasn't set up for the early part of the meet. It was just, it was really deep and like there was not really a bottom. It just went in deep. And so, but I'm not going to use that as an excuse for Arrogate. I think he'll handle it fine. I mean, Pacific Classic, he was, you know, he actually ran pretty good race there, you know, not, but I think that, I'm not going to use that as an excuse. I think he just wasn't,
right.
You know, he wasn't bringing it. And, I think now he looks great. And I think, you know, I think Collected, he really liked it, but I think Collected, he did win by 16 lengths the time before here at Santa Anita. So he's a really good horse. And so they're good horses. They're just good horses. And, you know, there's some really tough horses in there. And, you know, they've worked well over it. West Coast worked well over it. They've never run over it. So, it can be a tricky track though. I mean, Del Mar can be, I've seen horses that, you know, have moved up running at Del Mar, and others, you know, they don't run well, but a lot of the good horses, they've all run, you know, run well over it. So, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm not even thinking about the track surface right now.
Okay. So then, at the summer meet, you said, as the meeting progressed, the track got tighter. You would then maybe expect that the track would, you know, sort of open that way rather than get tighter as the meeting progressed, since there's not a lot of racing days between the meet opening and Breeders' Cup Day. So are you anticipating, are you hoping for a tighter surface for Arrogate?
I'm not really. I think, you know, Dennis Moore, I mean, he's a good track man. He'll have it, he doesn't want to, you know, he wants a good, safe track and at the same time, you know, consistent. So I think it'll be fine.
Safe trip for all your horses, Bob.
Thank you.
Next we have Frank Angst with Blood Horse.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
For the second year in a row, Dre Fong's entering the sprint off a long way up, training up very nicely. It looks like. What are some of the reasons that is a good approach for that horse?
Well, I mean, I just go by what he, you know, he after winter time, he I just gave him that break because you know, these sprinters, it's tough on him for the whole year, but he's always done better. And we had a lot of rain. I was going to take him to Dubai, but we had a lot of rain. I just really couldn't train him like I wanted to. And so I freshened him up. I could tell he just wasn't really responding to training. So we just back off on him and bring him back. And, you know, the whole thing was to run him in the Bing Crosby and then come back and run him in the Sprint Championship here and then run him in the Breeders' Cup. But then when he unfortunately made that left-hand turn into the gap, that sort of threw the plans. But, you know, luckily he won the forego. And so, sometimes they don't work out. But I could have probably run him here. But I just thought, well, I'll just run him fresh. He ran fresh. He did it last year, so.
Yeah.
And he looks good. He looks like he's training well. He's happy. So that's all you can ask for right now.
Gotcha. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Sure.
We'll move to Larry Stoons with San Francisco Chronicle.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Before you won three straight classics, you had been like 0-for-24 in races at a mile or longer with horses older than two. Did you change anything? Have you changed any your approach going into the classics or the classic, or is it just a matter of you've had the horse the last 3 years?
I think, other than, like Silver Charm, he was the horse, he ran second. I thought we had, that was a really tough classic, and he sort of went out and followed Swain. It was a weird, you know, I thought we could have won that one, but the other years I wasn't really armed like I was. Those were good horses. Byron was coming off of, a big win. He just won the Parks Derby in track record time, beating California Chrome, came back, ran well again. So he was a really, you know, I haven't won it with a slow horse. I've won it with really good horses. So, I think through the year, just experience dealing with everything, I think I've gotten a little better at it. And so, years ago, after the Gulfstream Breeders' Cup, it was a disaster for me. I sort of rethought the way I prepare them. You know, sometimes you can just get to have something left for the fall, but I think I've become a better manager at it. And the older you get, you just get better at it, I guess. I don't know. But I did win it with some really good horses. So, you know, American Feral, you know, didn't get any better than that. Arrogate last year, you know, we ran the Travers, came back. But, you know, I won it, you know, they were great horses. So, a lot of it is the horses, you know, got me there.
All right. And good luck, Bob. Thank you very much.
The mile and a quarter is a big, you know, they could. The other ones, they really didn't want a mile and a quarter.
Next, we'll move to Ron Flatter with the Vegas Stats and Information.
Bob, looking at the sprint with Dreyfong and the dirt mile with more spirit, do you regard them as better chances to win their races than maybe Arrowgate in the Classic?
Well, I don't know. I think you just need luck. I mean, I'm not a handicapper, so I mean, I think more spirit, he hasn't run since the Met Mile. That it was, you know, if he runs that race back, you know, it's pretty incredible. You know, it's going to be hard to get beat, but you know, after he ran that big race, it sort of took a lot out of him. It's taken him a long time to come around, so I would have loved to have put a prep race into him, but I didn't get a chance to. But you know, he's just, you know, he's never run at Del Mar. This summer I worked in there a few times. He struggled with that track earlier, but now he's doing much better. So you know, he's doing well, but he's going to have to, coming off a layoff that long, I'm really, you know, he's got his work cut out for him.
And the fact that horses weren't able to get on the track until this week at Del Mar, how much of an inconvenience was that?
Well, I mean, it would have been nice to, you know, been out there, you know, if they could have opened it 3 weeks before or whatever, but, you know, I don't make those calls. So as a horseman, we just have to deal with what we have. So I'm just treating it like I'm just shipping in. Instead of getting on a plane, I'm getting on a train, on a van, you know, so that's all you can do. The track, it'll be fine.
Thanks, Bob. Good luck.
Next, we'll take Tad Leonard with San Diego Union Tribune.
Hey, Bob, I wanted to ask you about East Coast, West Coast. Do you ever feel like you're at a disadvantage at all when you've got a ship to the East? And in the Breeders' Cups that you've been in, do you feel like the West Coast Breeders' Cups have been much of an advantage for West Coast trainers and horses?
I don't really think so. I think I think it's a caliber of horse. I think, you know, I've never really thought of it that way. I've never felt, you know, we've shipped and won right off the plane. Saratoga, they've come here, they've won. You need a good horse, but he has to be, you know, he has to run his race. So he just, at the end of the day, you know, with all the information you get now, you know, before it used to just, you went by the buyer figures, now there's sheets and there's so many different information that you can get now. It gives trainers an idea where you stand. I mean, you go in knowing like, I have no chance in here. So why even, you know? So, But on paper, you know, you just go by, you know, like I'm Solomini in the juvenile. You know, it looks like, you know, we're gonna have to really, really step it up. You know, you go, but you know, sometimes you, these Breeders' Cup races, you know, you got traffic, you've got, you know, you got a break. Well, there's a lot of, so sometimes you're hoping maybe to get lucky and your horse is moving forward, maybe, you know, but those other races like the Classic and those in the Sprint, so those are pretty cut and dry. You see who the good horses are. There's always, you know, like five top horses.
And just to follow up, you know, like almost, I think over half the races were overprescribed or oversubscribed. Is that a reflection of where the Breeders' Cup is right now? And you know, there's so much talk about the lack of horses and foals sometimes, but is that a good indication for the industry that so many of these races are so popular?
Well, I mean, the Breeders' Cup races are very exciting. It's an exciting 2 days. There's a lot of, the atmosphere is great. And especially, you know, when you have it in the West Coast, you know you're going to be guaranteed good weather. And that's so important. When you go somewhere else and it's rainy and sloppy and cold, it takes it out of it. So, but, you know, there's nothing like the Breeders' Cup and the West Coast. You know, they're going to come, you know, the Europeans, they come, everybody. So it's exciting. You see, you know, the best horses, the best jockeys, best trainers, they come from everywhere. So I think you see a lot of excitement. I've seen, you know, the horses are bringing more money. The, you know, horses, races like the Pegasus, those, you know, big races like that, get people involved. I think it's very important that these races, we have these big money races, because that's what gets, you know, people involved in racing. You, like, gives you, you know, like, they see those big purses, it's great. It's better, the bigger the pot, you know, the better the racing.
That is all the time we have for questions today. I'll turn the call back to Mr. Gluckson for any final or closing remarks.
Yes, Bob, thanks so much for joining us today, and good luck to all your horses when you get down here at Del Mar. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bob Baffert, everyone. Thank you to our guests today, Bob Baffert, Chad Brown, and Steve Asmussen, for joining us. If you're coming to Del Mar, we look forward to seeing you. All the horses, the pre-entries, again, are on breederscup.com. If you need to see anything regarding the entries, the post-position draw, the Root and Riddle post-position draw for the Breeders' Cup will be on Monday, the 30th of October. It will begin at 3:30 p.m. local time. Once again, I want to thank Jim Mulvihill and Joan Lawrence for their work on these Roads to the Breeders' Cup conference calls this year. And everyone, have a great day.
That does conclude our conference call for today, everyone. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.